How's everyone today? We're all here. Christmas shopping is done. I hear a few nervous laughs. Well, good morning. I am so glad that you're here with us today. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And if you've been with us through this season of Advent, this is our fourth week, and we have been on a journey together here at Awaken throughout this season of Advent. Advent being a time of waiting, of anticipation, expectation, preparation, a time for us to prepare our hearts for the birth of Christ, God moving into our neighborhood in the flesh. And as I've been saying all throughout, my goal for this season of Advent, for these 4 weeks that we've been in Advent together, is that the needle on your hope gauge would move closer to the full. So my prayer is that we're working our way there this season, over these couple of weeks. And what I thought we would do this morning is I want to look at one verse and talk about what this verse has to say about hope. Because that's what we've been talking about throughout this Advent season, hope. What is it? What does it look like? In a world that seems more and more entrenched in cynicism, I think it's so vastly important to park the car for a while on hope. So that's where we've been, and we'll look at this one verse, and then we'll sing a couple more Christmas songs together. How does that sound? All right. We have a few people that are ready to go. And they're like, all right, can we just get to the Christmas songs already? Now, we're going to look at Luke 1, verse 53. And before we go there, I have to give you a little background to let you know exactly where we find ourselves in the story. So if we go to the next slide. Now, Mary, at this point in the story, has just traveled from her hometown of Nazareth to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country, in the backwoods, because she needs to unplug for a while. She needs to go somewhere where there's no Wi-Fi. She needs to go dark on her Instagram account. She needs all of her followers. Remember, Mary, probably about 13, 14 years old, so her Instagram account is thriving. And for a time here, she needs to go dark. She needs to go silent. People need to be asking, where did Mary go? And so she goes to the logical place, the hill country, with her cousin Elizabeth. Because remember, Mary has just had an encounter with the angel Gabriel. And the angel has told Mary that you are about to have a son with the Holy Spirit. So the weirdness factor, pushing a 10 here. All right, just think about this. If any of you had an angel appeared in front of you and said you were about to have a son with the Holy Spirit, you might be a little weirded out, would you not? Some genders more than others, potentially. But at this point, you're hearing this. This angel comes to you and tells you what's about to go down. You need some time to mentally check yourself here. Am I sane? Am I seeing all right? You need some time to reflect on what the angel has just told you. You've just been told that you are going to give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, which, if you're a Jew in the first century, this name would have carried all sorts of weight, because Jesus means Yahweh, or God saves. So for Mary, when she's told, you're going to have a son, name him Jesus, there's this, the long-awaited Messiah, the one that we've been hoping and waiting and longing and praying for, that not only my parents, but their parents before them and their parents, generations of my people have been praying and longing for this Savior to come and to rescue us. We've been asking God, how much longer, when? And now all of a sudden you're telling me that I am going to give birth to this Messiah? Mary needs a little time to sort things out, does she not? She needs some time to reflect on, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for my people? What does it mean for the entire world? And so at this point, Mary starts doing what many of you might do. She writes poetry. She writes music to express what it is that she's feeling, what's swirling around within her. And so she writes this poem, or maybe it's a song, and there's one line towards the end of this song that I want to look at here this morning. So this is verse 53, and Mary has this to, I don't know, maybe this was a rap. Maybe this was hard rock. Whatever genre you prefer, just place some music to these words. He, speaking about God, has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. God has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he sent away empty. Now, this word rich, if we go to the next slide, comes from the Greek word ploteo. And ploteo can be translated in various ways. One way it can be translated is how it has been here in the NIV, with the English word rich. But it can also mean to abound in, to have abundance. It can mean having many resources. God has filled those who lack, those who are in need, those who hunger with good things, but those who are rich, those who have an abundance, those who have many resources, they leave empty, hollow. Maybe there's one way that we could say this. If we go to the next slide, if we go maybe two forward, I think we went back. There we go. There's something about not having everything you need or desire that leaves you hungry. And that hunger is the space that God fills. Maybe we could say this another way. The more we have, the less we hunger, and the less space we have for God. Maybe there's actually something to not having everything that you long for and desire. Maybe there's something about not having enough or not having everything that you want that leaves you hungry. And it's in that space that God fills you with good things. Now, I understand that's a hard message for us here in Westchester County, one of the richest counties in the world. We look around and oftentimes there's not too much that we lack around here. But maybe it's actually in our surplus that we are prevented from experiencing the good things that God longs to give us. So maybe our prayer here this Christmas season should be, God, may I not receive all that I long for. God, may you keep me hungry. Now, 4 weeks ago when we started this series, I gave you all an assignment. I know this wasn't school, so some of you started, you know, shaking as soon as I mentioned the word assignment. The assignment was to look for moments in your life where you saw hope, where you saw light breaking through the darkness. And, oh my goodness, you guys went for it. This, we had our hope box that we've journeyed with that Mary so beautifully decorated for us. There's something about fine art. This is fine art. This should be in the MoMA. I think I'm going to ask if they'll display this, their special Advent display. But the assignment was to find those times when you're journeying through life and there's a moment, there's something that happens where it was as if there was light that was breaking through the darkness that is so, that we see so often in our world around us. And so I said to collect those stories, write them down, take a picture. Someone actually sent in a video as well. not in the box. That was sent through email. And we filled this box. And I read through a bunch of these last week, and I'm just amazed at the stories that you filled this box with. But here's the thing. The reason why this box has been filled over these 4 weeks is because you were hungry. You were hungry, and not just for a chicken dinner. You were hungry for hope. This is why you have been intentional over these 4 weeks to look for hope sightings, to look for those times when it felt like the sun was breaking through the clouds. And that's what Advent is all about, giving voice to our aches, giving voice to our longings, the desires that we carry deep within us, giving expression to those. So what I want to do this morning is I want to read our stories. How does that sound? Is this the moment you've all been waiting for the past 4 weeks? So I'm going to open this box. Oh, actually, I see a new picture in here. Big pressure on the first one. Hope is seeing the smiling faces of my grandchildren. It gives a spark and unbelievable joy to my life. It is hope for the future that one day they would carry the torch for having strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and pass it on to their children. And then here's a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the hope that these little ones bring to my life. Current circumstances have forced me to be with my daughter, having to leave my husband alone at home. But I thought today that this is only temporary. Things will resolve. He and I are healthy by God's grace, and I pray this continues, and before too long, we will be back together again. And number two, my granddaughter is healthy and adorable. She is easygoing. And here's a praise. Praise God for all these blessings and more. My glimpse of hope is my father agreeing to go to the doctor after 5 years of not getting his health checked out. This is major. For we have had an estranged relationship, and he has agreed to let me go with him. He has been having health complications, so this checkup will be helpful in us getting details on what's going on with him. During Thanksgiving, I visited my friend's family and spent time listening to their walk with the Lord through this year. It was great to hear about all the amazing things that the Lord is doing in everyone's life, and so encouraging to hear everyone using their own life and their gifts, serving the Lord in different ways. This has definitely strengthened my faith and restored peace and hope in me. And a second one, my 7-year-old cousin called me and asked about Christianity as he learned the concept of Christian through TV shows, yet neither of his parents are Christian. I was so excited that the Lord blessed me with this privilege to share my faith with this little one. And then a third, 3 big projects I've been working on through the year are ready to launch. I'm so thankful the Lord has placed me in a job where I can best use my gifts and skills to serve him. I enjoy what I'm doing, and I'm excited to see all the effort that everyone has put into the project. And here's a picture. Can we all see this? And there's a story that goes along with it. The hope sign has been on our home for years, and it's hanging on the thermostat. That is amazing. Wow. I need to get to see it every single day when you walk by. I've walked by it thousands of times. Then last Monday, I saw it, I took it off, I held it in my hands. Our family dog came walking by, and I playfully put it around his neck. I got him to sit still with a bacon dog biscuit, and I snapped the picture. Jax is a symbol of hope. He was a stray dog roaming the street of Dade County, Miami, in June of 2014. He was captured, taken to kill in a shelter. Before his scheduled extermination, he was rescued by a New York City nonprofit dog and cat organization called In Our Hands Rescue. He was brought to an adoption event in Brooklyn where our oldest daughter, Emily, saw him, fell in love, and brought him home. That was 4 years, 5 months, and 10 days ago. Today, Jax is our constant reminder of hope and new beginnings. My wonderful family. A month before me and my fiance got engaged, I lost my job, and it was around 9 months until I was able to get a new one. Through that time, my fiance was the greatest support, both financially and emotionally. He helped me learn from my mistakes and grow as a person in so many new ways. We grew together as a couple in amazing ways, too. This gives me hope in a way that I've never known before. We could just keep going all day. Here's another picture, and I took a picture of this, and I have it up here, so we have the large version of this one, the Salvation Army. How many times have I passed by the little red kettle that collects loose change from passersby, the volunteer loudly ringing a handheld bell and wishing me a Merry Christmas? After the assignment given by Pastor Dave on looking for hope during the Advent season, I stopped outside my local supermarket and I closely examined the Salvation Army poster board. There, I saw the red shield, and under the red protective armor were the words, "Doing the most good." I took pictures, and I drove home with the words pounding in my head, like a bad headache. Doing the most good. Am I doing the most good? God, am I doing the most good? The words "doing the most good" is the Salvation Army's distinct, identifiable logo. The idea of doing the most good originated from the young daughter of William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. William Booth began the Salvation Army in 1865 as a means to help the suffering souls throughout London, England, who were not willing to attend or even welcomed in a traditional church. A man after my own heart. Thieves, prostitutes, gamblers, and drunkards were among his first converts to Christianity. And as his ministry grew, the gospel of Jesus Christ was spread far and wide to the poor, the vulnerable, and the destitute. After doing some research online about the Salvation Army, well, you really went for this one. I love it. And looking at their 2017 New York State financial report, I was inspired and wrote this poem like Mary. God, am I doing the most good? I am hope and light. I am compassion and faith. I am love and non-judgment. Yes, God, I am doing the most good, and please show me how to do more. Shortly after my paternal grandmother passed away, on the 17th of October, my only surviving grandmother almost followed her into eternity. This would mark the beginning of a series of close calls that reached their climax during Thanksgiving Day weekend, all the way up to the 7th of December. Up until her homecoming on the 10th of December, my grandmother never wavered in her faith nor love for Jesus. After receiving the news about her homecoming, as I processed what appeared to be a series of rather bizarre events leading up to her departure, I looked up and I saw the words, "Emmanuel, God is with us." These words reminded me that God is with us on the good days as well as on the worst days of our lives. Emmanuel's light shines brightest on the darkest days. And this is the image. I am hopeful for a healed heart this coming year. We'll pray that with you. The hope, love, and determination of the Palestinian people and all oppressed people around the world. All the teachers who believe in the potential and power of their students, even when the students themselves don't. So this one has a video that comes with it. We can cue up the video. I produced a social media video for a fast food chain 2 weeks ago, and it was centered around a pay-it-backwards social experiment where we paid for one customer's order and they paid it backwards for the driver behind them. Here's the video. Now, the hope sighting continues. Now, I hate that it's part of a commercial and branded, but the truth was that out of 100 people who went through the drive-thru, only 5 people outright refused to pay for the person behind them. How amazing is that? 5%. 2 of them didn't want to be on camera. 1 of them was pretty grouchy. And the other prepaid with the mobile app, so it wasn't possible for someone to pay it backward for their order. Part of it was social pressure, knowing there were cameras, and they didn't want to be the one responsible for breaking the chain. But in the video, you can see people were actually very happy to do it. Many people on the crew and client side were amazed that generally people were so nice and that we all wanted to do something nice for each other. They kept saying, "My faith in humanity is restored." But I wonder if it's possible for humans to show grace without first being given grace. I sure hope so. And then there's another one. We have another picture. My daughter Christiana and I were able to enjoy some special time together at a Christmas market in her college town of Bethlehem. This day was so meaningful because as she continues to struggle with her eating disorder and consequently struggles to rebuild a relationship with me, she actually made time to spend the day together. My mother joined in the festivities also, for which I was grateful. And Christiana actually was happy. I saw a light in her that I have not seen since the onset of her eating disorder. I can only hope that it continues to shine. I'm hopeful that this Hope Sightings box will inspire folks to truly see the goodness in their lives. Has it not done so? We have a few more here still. I have been going through a very difficult time in my life this year. My sister surprised me by taking a red eye from Seattle to spend the weekend with us. I often remember the time together because it gives me hope that love and goodness are still present in this world, and God gives us these moments of hope to sustain us. Another picture. Another hope sighting in New York City on 52nd Street and 7th Avenue. For me, the word hope has a special meaning and reminds me to hold on, possibilities exist. Merry Christmas to all. The other day, as I stand in a very long line, I said hello to an old fellow next to me that was seated on a bench while his wife was shopping. Sounds like the beginning of a Hallmark movie. The man said, people just don't get it that buying things is not the reason for the season, and the real reason is Jesus and spending time with family. As I stood in line, I was reminded by this man that Jesus gives us hope for a new day and a promise that we will see him again. Our earthly materials will not last forever and may only give us happiness for a moment, but this man reminded me of the hope we have in Jesus. I am happy to live each day loved by our amazing Lord. I am thankful that God places people even at the most random moments in our lives as a constant message of his love for us. And then another one, my parents-in-laws are my hope sighting. They have lived with us to help care for us and the baby when we most needed it. Both are so different in personality, humor, and thought processes, but they share one common foundation in Christ. And even if they were not believers, they hold dear the vows they exchanged in the institution belief of marriage. Attending Sunday service at Awaken has been such a blessing. I wonder if you will ever know how very many lives you have blessed, touched throughout your years of sacrifice and service. You're a shining light. You are God's good and faithful servant. Thank you. Awaken gives me hope. I have been deeply hurt by the church before finding my place here. Dave has restored my faith in pastors in a way I had really lost. Awaken has changed my life in more ways than I can list, and I am so thankful. Well, I had more things to say, but they just don't really compare. I was going to say that for me, when I think about hope, I think about you. Because you're all here week after week. Because you're hungry. You desire to be filled with the things of God. That's why you're here week after week. And that inspires me. It keeps me going. I have been privileged to share life with you all. And you invite me into some of the most intimate moments of your lives. I have performed wedding ceremonies for some of you. You have shared some of the darkest moments that you have gone through this year and in years past. And I find it a privilege to be able to listen, to be there to hopefully encourage you, and to let you know that I'm there with you in it, that I'm praying for you. You've shared stories of how for the first time in years, you've been able to begin the process of forgiveness. How your heart is being healed. Someone just recently said that through their time here at Awaken, they're discovering what it means to love well and how their family has noticed and they have told them so. That's where I find hope this Christmas season. For the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born, they were watching their flocks, minding their business, probably sitting around the campfire with some good coffee, a good roast over the fire. And all of a sudden, the skies opened up, and these angels appeared in the sky. And if we go to this verse in Luke, here's what the angels told them. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And what did the shepherds do? They dropped everything and they ran to see this sign. And as soon as they saw the baby, they ran out and they spread the good news of what they had seen. And then we're told, Luke tells us, they returned yet again. It's like that time on Christmas morning when you got that amazing present under the tree and you unwrapped it and you were thrilled at what you had been given. Then you went, you took a shower, and you raced back to the tree to make sure that your drone was still there under the Christmas tree. This is the shepherds on Christmas. They saw the sign. They told everyone of what they had seen, and then they raced back to make sure that the sign was still there, that it was still real. My prayer for you this Christmas season is that these hope sightings may be your sign. May they be a sign that God is with you. May they serve as a sign. May you carry these stories, the ones that you have seen and the ones that you've heard this morning, may you carry them with you this Christmas season. And every time you think of them, may they loudly insist that God isn't finished with this world and that God isn't finished with you. That your story is still being written. And that God is faithful. And God is walking with you every step you take in this world. So as we started 4 weeks ago, may you see that the light is breaking through the darkness. But the darkness has not and will not overcome the light. God, we thank you for these stories. God, we thank you for all of the moments that we have seen the light breaking through this Advent season. And God, I pray that as we continue to carry these stories with us, God, as we continue to look for signs of hope, God, I pray that you would flood us with more hope this Christmas season. God, may you fill the dark, God, the dead places within our lives. May you fill them with light, with the hope of Christ. God, this birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, may it still today loudly insist, may it loudly proclaim that you are forever with us and that your grace and your mercy, your salvation is traveling with us. God, may we continue to see signs of your presence as we go through this season and beyond into the next year. We pray and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.